Because of our activities today, we're not going to have a sermon, but this gives us a little more time to focus our hearts and our minds before we take the Lord's Supper. And one of the stories that has always impacted me in the Gospels, recorded in several of the Gospels, all the Gospels actually, is the story of the woman who anointed Jesus with perfume. Can you imagine being that woman, having the opportunity to do what she did within a few days of Christ's death? She got to pour out her affection with a very generous gesture to encourage Christ. Jesus was at the home of Simon the leper in a town called Bethany, and he was enjoying a meal with his disciples, one of the final meals that they would eat before he was taken to be crucified. And in walks a woman with a jar of, it says, very expensive perfume. It's been estimated it's about, would cost a person about a year's worth of wages to pay for that perfume. And she breaks the jar open and pours it over the head of Christ. You know, it was customary at that time in history, as many of you know, that there would be a basin for foot washing in a home. So if you were to have visitors, as Simon had visitors that day, it would not have been unusual to walk in and found a basin of water. And what would typically happen if you had the means is you would put a few drops of perfume into that basin of water so that not only the feet could be clean, they could smell better. And that wasn't uncommon, and probably if she did that with her perfume, if she gave a little, and certainly that would be a generous gesture, it probably wouldn't be mentioned today. But she took the entire jar of perfume, again, about a year's worth of wages, and poured it out on one person, our Lord and her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The objections began flying immediately. Judas stepped up and basically said, "Are you crazy? Are you nuts? We could have sold that perfume, and imagine what we could have done with that money. We could have fed so many poor people. We could have given them food." And they're getting all over this woman's case, and Jesus comes to her defense. He says, "Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing to me." And he goes on and he says, "Anytime the gospel's preached, this story is going to be included." Again, can you imagine having been that woman? I doubt she ever regretted it looking back. Said, "Wow, that was a waste. That was kind of impulsive." Her devotion to Christ has caused that story to be told today, and for us to all know it quite well, most of us. She did a beautiful thing for Christ. I want you to imagine now Jesus a few days later, having been subjected to some of the worst human cruelty that you could imagine, having been beaten, flogged, spit at, punched, cursed at, mocked. But amidst it all, he could still smell that sweet smell of perfume that she had poured on his head. The sweet smell of sacrificial love. The sweet smell of appreciation for what Jesus was doing at that very moment. Wouldn't you have loved to be in her position? Able to be extravagant in a way that was able to encourage Christ at his darkest hour. You know, I'm sometimes envious of the way rich people get to encourage others when they pour out their stuff. I really appreciate it. This internship wouldn't have been possible without people just pouring out from their wealth so that we can have things like this and days like today. And yeah, I remember when I was in the corporate world, after I became a Christian, Helen and I worked it so that we could live on 40% of my income. And we decided to use the rest just to pour out blessings on other people's lives. It was one of the most wonderful things. Yeah, today I struggle a little with envy because I don't get to do that much anymore. I can't pour out from what I have. And yet when I look at Jesus, I look at somebody who didn't have a place to lay his head. He had nothing, materially speaking. And so what did he do? He poured out himself. He emptied himself into others. He poured out his very lifeblood. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning verse 12, it says this about Jesus. They're comparing what Jesus did as our high priest to what the high priest used to do under the old covenant. And it says, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, which was sort of the required sacrifice for the priest to enter the most holy place. There was a lot of things required, but that was one of them. You had to spill precious blood and a lot of it to be able to get past your sinfulness and enter the most holy place. He said he didn't enter by means of the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, poured out to obtain eternal salvation. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonial unclean sanctify them so they're outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? Yeah, there was a purpose for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. It was that so today your consciences can be cleansed from anything you do that you might have found offensive to God. He wants your conscience clear, and he poured out his blood so that might take place. When Jesus celebrated the Last Supper with his disciples, which is what we are going to be doing today, we're going to be doing this same thing in memory of him. He took the cup and he said in Luke 22, verse 20, he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Yeah, I love the song that we sing sometimes as a church. And one of the lines in that song, which again, very familiar to most of us, says, "Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me?" It's really a question that I think Jesus would ask if he was able to communicate with us today. Would you be poured out like wine upon the altar for me? Would you be broken like bread to feed the hungry? Yeah, it's really a question that each one of us needs to answer. And it's not about giving huge sums of money. Only a few can do that. It's about giving of yourself, pouring out yourself as new wine to be offered for him. And I think the only way that you can pour out yourself like new wine on the altar for him is to consider two things. Number one, you got to consider the sacrifice of Christ. Do you personally appreciate what he did for your salvation? Unless you do that, there's no chance you're going to pour out your life for him. Do you see your absolute and undeniable need for a Savior? Do you see the debt that we had because of our sin was so immense, there was no way any of us could pay it off? And Christ stepped in and said, "I'll pay it off with my life poured out for you." And I think until you do that, you can't possibly even consider being poured out like wine upon the altar for him. I think the second thing you need to do is you need to be willing to allow God to make you into wine. That's not an easy process. We come into this world as grapes, sweet little soft things. And grapes can be very satisfying. They can be very enjoyable. But that's not the destiny that he has for his people. His destiny is that you would be like a new wine poured out on the altar for him. At the time of Jesus, the process of making wine was pretty straightforward. The grapes had to what? Be crushed. They had to be crushed. I don't know about you. I resist being crushed. I don't like being crushed. I'd rather just, okay, God, just be real gentle and hold me in your soft little hands that never lifted a hammer and just beat. That's the way I want to be so coddled. And he says, you're not going to be wine that can be poured out for me unless you're willing to be crushed. And God uses all kinds of feet to crush us. He uses the feet of others who hurt us deeply, who disappoint us, who reject us, humiliate us, gossip about us, take advantage of us, expose our sin, persecute us. Sometimes it's the feet of extreme hardship, financial pressure, peer pressure, social pressure of any kind. All those things are part of the process of taking you from a grape to a fine wine that can be poured out on the altar for him. Are you willing to let him do it? Or do you fight? When my daughter, Christine, was in high school, and I think anybody who is trying to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be able to relate to this. She wanted to have a pure dating relationship with the kid she was dating. And by purity, I mean purity. Absolute purity. And she got abused for it. She was an athlete, and athletes are famous for, they were at least in her school. Sorry, not all athletes. They were famous for abusing kids who had a standard. Their job was to break them so we can be a team in this sin. We all want to be immoral together. We all want to get high together. We all want to get drunk together. You're not a part of the team unless you're part of us and do what we do. And she was being crushed by teammates. She's being crushed by fellow students. And she let God do it. She didn't compromise her convictions. Some of you know my daughter. She's sitting right over there, married to the guys on the keyboard. She is fine wine being poured out for God because she withstood that pressure. She didn't harden herself. She didn't escape it. She let it come on her. That's what's necessary to begin to transform that grape into fine wine. I know that when I'm under pressure, I feel like I got to get harder. I don't want to succumb to pressure. I feel like I got to get tougher. And I look more like a purple stone than a purple grape. But I can't resist it if I want new wine to become new wine, which is poured out for Christ. If I refuse to be crushed by the feet that are on me, and I insist on being gently handled by the soft hands of God, will I ever become new wine poured out for him? Isaiah chapter 53 says, Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. In verse 10, it says, that same chapter, it says, it was God's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer because he wanted to take him from being a grape to being wine that would be poured out as a sacrifice for our sins. You know, once a grape is crushed, sweet juices pour forth, but it's not yet wine. Those juices have to be collected, poured into some type of airtight container, and put in complete darkness for a period of years. So maybe you're the one being crushed right now, and you can relate to that. Maybe you're the one that's sitting in darkness right now as the fermentation process is taking place. Grapes don't become wine without fermentation. They don't become wine without sitting under some pressure in darkness. The abuse that Christine endured in high school produced some sweet juice. But as it fermented through her college years, she experienced the darkness and disappointment of betrayal. Some of you have experienced the same thing. She had no idea what God was doing or why he was doing it to her, why she was sitting in darkness, but she chose to continue to place her trust in him and allow God's fermentation process to continue. When I consider her who she is right now, I praise God. She is fine wine, the kind that's only made by the master himself. And as new wine, she's changed the lives of so many as she's been poured out on the altar for him. Would you be wine that would be poured out on the altar for Christ? The band's going to perform a song now, and I would like you to consider closing your eyes or looking, whatever helps, but I'd like you to consider it as a prayer that you might be able to pray as you accept possibly the crushing things that you're going through or the period of darkness and isolation and separation that you might be feeling. And I think the song will minister to you as you prepare to take the bread and the wine representing the body and blood of Christ.